Welcome to Ram Radio with Pastor John Coleman of Into the Word Ministries, the Biblical Alternative. Ram Radio stands for Reformation Apologetics Ministry. Ram Radio is a program for the Christian who is constantly learning and growing in the Word of God. The discussions during Ram Radio will challenge each listener to know what they believe and why they believe it. Sometimes the discussions will challenge your salvation. Stay with us and investigate the scriptures to know what is expected of the man or woman who claims Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Get your Bible ready. Here's Pastor John Coleman.
Thank you so much, Mark Ramsey, and thanks for joining me for Ram Radio, the webcast, which is the Biblical Alternative, on this 24th day of January 2013. It's a Thursday in Los Angeles, cloudy, overcast. But the Bible remains true. It tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, that we are to set apart Christ as Lord in our hearts, always being ready to make a defense. A defense of what? A defense for our faith, to everyone that asks us to give an account of the hope that is in us, yet with gentleness and with reverence. I would ask that you keep in mind that in a world of professing Christians, and there are so many of them around these days, that we have to do something. We have to classify ourselves as those who are justified in a life of righteousness by that particular position in Christ. I call this a divine absolutism. And it must be affirmed by the standard of the Word of God alone, regardless of what you may see. Regardless of what you may hear, God's Word is the outstanding standard. Now, what is it that I believe about the Bible? I believe that the Bible is the very Word of God. We don't learn about God, Jehovah, Elohim, Yahweh, Jesus, Holy Spirit, Christ, Lord, salvation, sin, righteousness. We learn all those terms most specifically, since we are living in this particular era, from the Bible. We don't necessarily get it from people that we know, but we get it from the book that we read. The Bible controls our destiny, not only here, but even after we leave this life. That's what Ram Radio is all about, Reformation Apologetic Ministry. It's a reformed Christian ministry because Christianity has become confused. Now, if you've gone to my website in the past couple of days, I have a couple of clips up, and it's one that says, Now is the Time. It's a Now is the Time trailer, talking about a new brand of theology that we have to put forth to win the young people. And I have right under that, My Letter to Christianity, Part 1, The Spoken Word, and it's a YouTube clip. You can tap into Part 2 and get a broader, in-depth, look at this young man who is making some pretty good accusations about us older Christians. I've been saying it for years that we've got to change because the young people will not follow Christianity the way that it's been put out there by the church and by evangelicals. Some of you may be offended that I have that young video up, this Letter to Christianity. You should tap into Part 2 after you watch Part 1. Those other things I haven't looked at, they don't interest me. But a young black male giving the spoken word makes a little sense. He may not understand the thorough exegetical message of the Bible when he places all religions in there, but he's on the right track when he says that God is about love. What I'd like to see is exactly what that young man would like to see. I'd like to see professing Christians loving Muslims, loving Hindus, loving homosexuals, whites loving blacks, blacks loving Hispanics, Hispanics loving Asians, because God is love. I'd like to entitle this very informative webcast that I'm doing today, Secrecy is Evil as Truth is Suppressed. Secrecy is Evil as Truth is Suppressed. The Invisible War. I saw the documentary this morning. It's a documentary about how females and males in the armed services have been attacked, raped, and sodomized by their fellow soldiers. This on the cuff of Secretary Panetta saying that they're going to open up literally thousands of more jobs for females in the armed services. And as these females get into the armed services, I was beckoned by a Fox News reporter on television this morning to watch that documentary film, The Invisible War. I had never seen it. It came out in the year 2012. It's on Netflix. So while I was having a cup of coffee for breakfast, I thought that I would watch the film. I watched it, and to my surprise, I was weeping all through it. I kept finding myself saying, no, it can't be true. No. And what I liked about this Netflix film is that they were not actors doing that. They are real people. I listened to women saying in the film how they've always wanted to help their nation by becoming a part of the armed forces, only to discover that the armed forces and the powers that be behind those organizations have been covering up the inhumane treatment of women by men for years. And it doesn't appear until a drastic lawsuit hits someone right in the face that this kind of behavior will not stop. And I was also captured by the fact that yesterday's LA Times, the LA Times of the 23rd of January, I think you can get that in the archives, had as a headline, Mahoney tried to conceal abuse. Files from the late 80s show Archbishop and aide discuss strategies to protect the priests, and I'd like to add this, that were molesting the young children. Now, I also received a telephone call from a pastor friend of mine this morning. I was getting ready to do the webcast a number of hours ago, and he asked me a question. He asked me, why do I sound the way I was sounding? And I told him that I just watched that, the Silent War documentary, and I was pondering in my heart the things that I've said negatively about women that should not have been said. No, I am not retracting my statement about women ought not to be pastors, because in the Holy Bible, that's one thing that the young poet doesn't understand when he was talking about bias and prejudice against women. See, young people are going to listen to their mother before they listen to God. And it takes time to get into the Word of God to study it. It's an ancient text. And when the young lad in part two of his letter to Christianity says that we don't know, well, young men, we olders do know, because we've done the research and we know what the language really states in its original form. I would say to the young man, I commend you for making your letter of Christianity part one and part two under spoken word. I think that you've made a tremendous impact. That is why I embedded this particular YouTube clip to my website, because I applaud young people that are thinking, not theoretically about God, but with an impact to let us know how their generation views some of the things that we have polluted and done. So I commend him for that. But I would ask that whomever knows the young lad might get in touch with him and give him a little deeper, further insight. You see, I'm a black man too, and I agree with you that the church is polluted, religious organizations are polluted, and that institutionalized religion needs to be done away with, because institutionalized religion harbors secrecies of evil as the truth is suppressed. Now, unlike the young man, I'm going to go to the scripture, and I'm going to read a scripture that contradicts secrecy's evil as truth is suppressed. And it is Romans chapter 1, verse 18. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Now, the reason that I start with this verse, because a young man was saying that God is love. Well, we cannot have love unless we have its equal balance, which is retribution. No, my young friend, everybody's not going to heaven. Some folk are going to hell because of their rejection of the God idea, because of their rejection of what God has said. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the world were a stark raving utopia where everyone and everybody was operating on a scale that loved God out of sheer obedience to his blessed word? But unfortunately, that is not the way it is. Everyone does not care for God in that way. I know that America has changed. I've said that in one of my recent webcasts, and I pontificated the fact that since America has changed as a country, as a people, even spiritually we've changed. We don't come to know God or come to see God in the way that we did before. But I believe that the way that, now this is what I believe, and I'm not trying to push my belief on anyone else. All right, let me start off this conversation by saying this. Okay, first of all, I want to apologize to every lady that has ever misread me. You would have to first investigate what I've said and hear me right before you can say that I haven't misread or I have misread you, John. I think that many people have misread me because they take my seriousness about God as rather harsh, unloving, ununderstanding. When I make statements like, God has never called a female to be a pastor. Well, he hasn't, because if he does that, he would have to say that he lied when he influenced the Apostle Paul to say that I suffer not a woman to teach or to usurp authority over a man. Or whereas Paul says, I've commanded women to keep silence in the churches as in all the churches in Asia. Now, if you don't know where those texts are in the New Testament, since the young man was standing under, it appears to be three crosses and bringing a smash against Christianity, I would advise him to research those scriptures and then come up with an opinion about what the Word of God says. He so readily says that we use it and we hypocritically try to enforce it with the negative context. He's right. Pastors are pimping the people. Congregations. In his second letter to Christianity, he spoke about the mega churches. He's correct. All these mega churches and people are without food and shelter, and the mega church churches are not giving up their monies to help these poor, unfortunate human beings. I agree. Some of the things that the young man said was absolutely correct. But as Pastor Zarek says on his trailer, now is the time. Zarek is saying it's time for us to step it up and give props to whom prop is due. That's why I would say I commend the young man on his two videos. Very nicely done with the modern technology. I don't know who you are. I don't have Twitter, but I will try to email you through YouTube and ask you to look at some of my clips and get a thorough biblical indoctrination before you're so quick to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Because you see, traditionalized Christianity in this country is, as the subject matter implies, a bunch of secret evil as it has suppressed truth. God is love, but God is also wrath. For it says in Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Now, this is the best part of the verse coming up. Who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. We want to talk a little bit about that because myself and Pastor Zarek were talking about some of the evils that we have. First of all, I'll say all of us are wicked. All of us are evil. All of us deserve to be banished from God. And let me start off with the number one person that deserves that attribute. Me. I think that God should smash me. for the things that I've done, having read his word, known what his word it says, God should smash me. Why does he allow me to continuously with vibrato propagate his way in my life with the hope and anticipation that he might give these same attributes to others that claim that they believe in him? Well, he doesn't smash me and destroy me and annihilate me because he is, as the young poet says, he is love. But he is also wrath. You see, the first step in the revelation of the righteousness that God provides for people by faith is set forth in their need because they are under God's judgment. All of us are. The Bible says that we are born in sin, shapen in iniquity. And there's another verse that says, all have sinned. Every Muslim, every Hindu, every woman, every man, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then God says in Romans 6:23, because that was Romans 3:23 that I just quoted. But in Romans 6:23, it says that the wages of sin, in other words, that sin, and I'm not talking about anybody, young man, if you're listening to PJ, I'm not talking about anybody. I mean, I love the fact that you made that video. It's wonderful. But as you stood under God's sun shining down on you, I don't know where you were. It was a nice background. It really made sense. Your technological abilities to put the thing together, because everybody loves a show, don't they? And all you do is just go to yahoo.com, and every day a new news article comes up, and showmanship is a part of that. Yahoo is competing with the other internet Mongols. Everybody is competing. That's what America and business is all about. It would be a wonderful thing if we lived in utopia where everybody loved everybody and there was no competition. Everybody got 3 square meals a day, had a roof over their head, and can possibly drive around in a nice Lexus and feel comfortable when they went to the beach. But it's not that way. Some people are going to be hungry. Some people are going to starve to death. Some people are going to bludgeon other people to death. Some people are going to hate me because of the mere fact that I'm black. Some people are going to call me a liberal, a conservative, or I'm too far to the right or too far to the left. But it's not about what they say of me. It is about what God has placed in me. I was doing a Bible study last night. And in one of the slides, as we came to the end of the study, I said, there are 2 things that I want you to realize about salvation. Salvation consists of Christ being our Lord as he is, and then Christ as Lord in us. When I mentioned that to Pastor Reamer, he said, that's it, John. They have Christ as salvation for them, but they have not taken, that is the church, Christ in them. Because when we take Christ in us, we would have a different view of women being abused in the military. We would have a different view of Cardinal Mahoney. Really, this archbishop of this diocese here in Los Angeles, they should storm his house where he lives as a retired man. They ought to put handcuffs and shackles on him, take him out of his house shackle, throw him in the towers downtown, right down the street from where the cathedral is, where he gave mass, lock him up in the general population, and let all the prisoners know what he did, and let's see how the good Cardinal Mahoney would fare. Now, how can I say that? Am I saying that because I feel self-righteous? Because I've never sinned? Oh, no, you don't know me. I sin, if not every day of my life. I sin often enough to know that before I close my eyes in sleep, I pray that child's prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. Oh, I pray you, Jesus, my soul to keep. And if you should cause me to die before I wake, oh, sweet Jesus, because of my personal Pastor John Coleman sin, my soul, you'll take. You see, I'm not thinking that I'm not a part of this because as a young man pointed out to me, you're right, son. But son, I got to say this to you too. You're a sinner by nature. You're depraved. And unless you admit that to God, the way that I admit that to God, none of us are going to get in. Now, it's my job, since I'm the elder, because I don't need no young lad teaching me anything. I'm impressed by his video. Thank you, Jesus. But you can't teach me nothing. Why? Because I'm older than you. I've been running this race a long time. One of the tenets of Christianity is that every true Christian must become a martyr. That means that he must sacrifice a great deal of something or other of what he has for the sake of the advancement of the kingdom. There's one thing that I admire and love about the young people. They can give these dynamic poetry reads, and it sounds good when you tell me what the problem is. And they correctly address the problem. There are hypocrites in the church. The church is full of us. We are hypocrites. Now, I'm trying every day of my old life, because in case a young man ever listens to this webcast, I'm 68 years old. I am trying with all of the ability that I have to live the way that God would have me live. And one of the attributes that he demands of me is that of love. And I think that my track record has shown over the many years that I was a Congregationalist pastor until I resigned. No, I wasn't kicked out because of some sexual scandal. No, I wasn't kicked out because I stole money. As a matter of fact, when I resigned, I told them, stop giving me money. Give the money to whomever you want to, or keep it yourselves. It is not necessary. My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory. Most men that call themselves pastors would never say that, nor would most women. And most women think that they're obligated to take over the pastor or the pastorate because they said that there is no one worthy to do that. Well, I'm worthy to be a pastor in any church in America of any size. But I refuse to do it because the Christian church has failed. They have failed to listen to the message of the Word of God. They are too busy concentrating on the pimp preacher. They are too busy concentrating on wood, hay, and stubble, bricks, and mortar. You see, the church has lost its way, and that has forced our children to put videos all over the internet, getting thousands of hits because it makes sense to the young generation. They are not going to listen to the old Episcopalian garbage, not if all of your bishops turn into homosexuals, because most men are not. Now, don't get me wrong, because all of us have a proclivity to something. If you're not a man having a desire to be with another man, you're a man with a desire to be with a woman. Now, if she is not your wife, if she is your daughter, and if she is your cousin, and if she is your neighbor's friend, then you have just as much sin as the gay man that would try to have unwarranted sex with another gay man. So you see, we have to keep everything on an equal level here. Instead of us looking at what people do, and then we're going to cast a stone at that house over there, you know, where there's a glass house. I'll throw a stone at this one because I don't like that. Oh, well, I like that group, but I'll throw a stone at this one over here because I don't like that. No, we can't do that. That is not the way we're supposed to do it. But you know what we've done? I'll tell you what we've done. We have gone so far to erect for ourselves our own disciplines. And that's what that young man did in that video. You know, you would say, he's a nice lad. he's on the right track. If he doesn't get the right understanding about what this Hagias Biblos is saying, and you may say, John, what is a Hagias Biblos? I'm sorry, but that's what your Bible is called. Your Bible is called the Hagias Biblos. It is called the Holy Bible. If that young man doesn't get that right, what do you think God's going to do? Wink at that? I think there's a scripture in the Bible. I'm not going to give you the script. I'll just quote it. It's on the top of my head. It said, there was a time that God once winked at man's ignorance of what was really going on. And then the second part of that verse says, but now he commands that every man repent, that is, turn from his sin. See, at times when we read the Bible, we only want to read those verses we want to read. God is love. What is the theme verse that I just told you about? It's called Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. He didn't say of animals. He didn't say of birds. He didn't say of fish. He didn't say of any other mammal, but Homo sapiens, men and women. You see, my friends, there was a time when I was a young man and I went to church. Oh, that was long before the mega churches. That was long before the Word Faith movement even got started. For those of you that don't realize, Word Faith Movement is that movement spawned by people like Creflo Dollar, Fred Price, the young man mentioned on part two, certain apostles. There are no apostles today, because if you read the Bible and studied it perfectly and understood the Greek, because the Bible is a transliteration from Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic, the Bible was not written in English, nor was it written for Americans. You see, that's what I'm talking about. You can become presumptuous because you're young. One young lad told me, Mario, he's in Barcelona now. And Mario remembers this statement. We were having a hot argument. And Mario said, see, John, it was your time, but now it's ours. And we can make this book mean whatever we want it to mean because it's our time now. But you know what I told Canto? Son of mine that I love so much, and he knows that I love him. I love him, but because I love him, I don't have to agree with him, you see. That's just it. I told him, but Mario, you forget one thing. I'm still here. And as long as I'm here and my influence wanes, the truth that I know to be true, because I have a degree in theology, you may think that's cheap grace. No, that's over $40,000 worth of money trying to find out what this means. Now, you may tell me, well, I could have found out what that means without paying all that money. No, because when I went to school, there was a time that you could trust godly man to tell you the truth about this book. See, remember, I became a Christian before there were mega churches. There were no mega churches when I became a Christian. See, this mega church is, and this young lad looks like he's about 21, 22 years old. See, the mega churches didn't come about until, let me think about this now. Yeah, I think the mega churches started to come around about the, maybe around the late 60s, like that is when they start to develop that concept, if you really want to get it. But they didn't have churches like that, where you drive in on this big campus lot and park 5,000 cars and send your children to the nursery. When I first became a Christian, they didn't have no nurseries and no church. They did not have Word Faith. They didn't have the kind of people speaking like Fred Price, Creflo Dollar, T.D. Jakes. There were people, as a young man pointed out, adequately speaking like Malcolm X, Martin Luther King. But if you read David Garrow's book, Bearing the Cross, and Ralph Abernathy's book, when he wrote an autobiography of Martin Luther King, everybody knew that Martin Luther King was a womanizer. Yes, a whoremonger. Everybody knows that. Not only J. Edgar Hoover, who was a homosexual, everybody knows that. You see, and I'm not trying to dwell on a man's sexuality or what he did, but if you know everything about an individual, you wouldn't be so quick to reach a poetry without doing extensive research. See, our young people have a way of making it appear, and this is what's happening. See, us old people with all of this knowledge, it's taking us a little bit too long to disappear. And as long as we're around, as long as I'm around, you like that little picture I got of me on my website? I got this glare when I'm looking at you. I'm looking right at you and I'm saying, you know, you listening to me. You hear what I'm saying. Are you going to own up to it? Are you going to continue to stay in your secrecies of evil as the truth is suppressed? Did you read Romans 1:18? God has wrath revealed for you because in your unrighteousness you suppress the truth. And since you suppress the truth in unrighteousness, now look what it says in verse 19. Did you grab that Bible yet? You should have grabbed it by now to see whether I'm telling you the truth. See, you can give the spoken word and poetry, and you can be moving to the left and to the right and have the right camera shots in the background, music playing, and all that kind of, and that's wonderful. Like I said, I commend the young man for doing a wonderful job. But I didn't grow up in a fantasy world. I recall in his speech, he was talking about the church created the Holocaust. The church created, no. Hypocrites did that. That wasn't the church. The true church could never. Listen, I'm going to say it. Give it to you easy. A true bona fide Christian, a true one, could never be happy with the death of another human being, especially at that true Christian's hands, ever. Because life is a precious commodity. I think about my life, and I hope that at the end of my life, that when I leave here, that no one would ever say that I have ever done anything like this Mahoney guy here in L.A. that calls himself a head preacher of the Catholic diocese of this, in this section of the world. I would hope, I would turn myself in if I ever did anything like that to a child, ever. I've been accused of some stuff like that because a lot of people don't like me. They don't like me because of my forthtelling. I forthtell. The first person that I forthtell on is me. I would never, if I had sex with anybody, I would never tell anybody that I had sex with that adult person without that person's permission to say that. So if anybody comes to me and say, have you ever had sex with somebody? And if I said yes, and they said who, I would say none of your bizwax. Because as an adult, I would never do that. Maybe the other person doesn't want anybody to know what I did or what they did. Because I'm an adult and they're an adult. But when you're a child, you see, a child can't deal with that. That's why Mahoney needs to go to jail. I've never done anything noteworthy of going to jail. No, ever in my 68 years. And if you hear this some years after I do this, you know that. I don't lie because I'm not afraid. That's why I respect the young lad's videos, because he is telling us what he sees of us. And I can do a webcast only after I watch both of his videos. And then I have to present scripture, not as my defense. Because as I said, when I look at the scripture in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, that I quoted earlier, if I sanctify Christ in my heart, if I set aside Christ in my life, I have to be ready to make a defense, not of myself. This defense is not for me. This defense is for the claim that I use Christian next to my name. I cannot defend myself as a Christian if I cannot stand in defense of those Christian principles. You see, this is what we do. This is why I, PJ, I try to continuously put things up on this website every day to keep you thinking, breathing, and moving about this situation. Oh, ladies, I know what you can do. You think I'm a male chauvinist because I won't give you leeway. A young black man who looks very similar to this young lad saying this told me here recently, "You hate black women." I said, "Why is that?" "Because you won't even listen to what they have to say." I said, "If they come at me without being biblically submissive to me as the head of this relationship, and no, I do not respect that, because God first created men." This young lad would read his Bible. He knew that God created Adam first and then Eve. Eve was Adam's helpmeet. Adam was not Eve's helpmeet. When you're raised by a woman, they will tell you that God's intention was for us to be their helpmeet. That is how our nation has changed. So therefore, in our nation, we raised feminized males. A feminized male is a male that will first listen to a female before he listens to a male. Now, I know that most males are hypocrites and liars. You're looking at Mahoney, especially with his beanie hat on. This Archbishop Roger M. Mahoney, he retired in the year 2011. He issued a statement of apology to the abuse victims on Monday. Well, saying that you're sorry about what happened to the child and then hiding the culprit away is not communicating that you are sorry to me. But he doesn't have to respond to me. He has to respond to God. I have the LA Times article in my hand, and I'm going to tell you, it's just too devastating. It's too devastating. I don't desire to read the article about Mahoney. I was going to. I have a newspaper clipping that I got from someone, but I don't even feel like I want to discuss that filthy old man, because those men that were hid out, and they got, what did they say, over 350,000 documents or something like that. Oh my God, can you imagine? And there are some Christians that says, well, yes, we should topple the Catholic Church because its Pope and its leadership are on. Look, I'm not trying to topple nobody's job, because everybody got to make some money. Some people got people waving iconic figures in front of them and giving money. Man, check this out. If you want to believe that you can give a dude dressed in a robe and a beanie and a collar some money to keep the soul of your dearly departed out of the burning pains of Hades or hell, well, then you keep giving them money. And the first thing that they'd have to do to me is tell me how in the hell are they doing that. Doesn't make any sense to me, and I'm a theologue. You see what I'm talking about? And so that's why I'm not carried away, because my hair is gray. You see that? I've been around a little bit. Oh, my goodness. I'd love to talk with the young lad. I really would. He says that we can't even converse. Boy, you just the kind of young lad I'd like to converse with. Because you know what? That would be the future preacher of a new age. But see, being sarcastic without some substance behind it is fallacious philosophically. But that's all right. It's a nice video. And it's very popular because it got hits. And I'm not saying that because my video don't have hits. I don't expect nobody to listen to an old black man who knows God personally and is just quoting in all of his video clips what God has said in the Bible. I'm not concerned about that. But I am quite convinced, because a lot of people have told me, and I'll just tell you the way that they've told me. John, there are so many people listening to you that you don't know about, but they will never come out and talk with you. You have brought so much conviction upon them, they've just stopped going to churches because they know that you're telling the truth. They just do not have the guts enough to stand up to their pastor and say, shut up. They don't have the guts enough nor the know-it-all to go to the scriptures to find out what it really teaches to stop these people. And some of them just live in the shadows and continue to perpetrate a lie. And the young lad sees the perpetration of the lie. And when he tries to get his little poetry thing together, we say, oh, son, shut up. Why is everything done in a poetry read confrontation? Well, I kind of like the confrontation because you don't have to buy a building, pay tithes to justify worshiping God, and then give the pastor a trip to the Caribbean every year because you just loves your pastor. So, as I conclude this webcast, let me conclude it on this note. Let us not be too harsh against these young people. Rather, what we need to do is we need to think out a schematic that when we do speak with them, that we will have some substance or some substance, if you will, behind your words. I know to some of you these terms that I'm using are relatively fresh. I know. You're speaking or listening to an educated man. And I have learned, after learning how to use these computer devices, that the younger generation are far more advanced in their education when it comes to digitalness, HDness, and this expansion of knowledge as they share these marvelous ideas about a God who is both love and wrath. See, that's called in this life balance. Because if God were just a God of love, then, as the young man sought to imply, no one would go to hell. Everyone would go to heaven. Well, to quote the words of an old jazz song back in the day when I was a young man, it ain't necessarily so. Pastor John beckoning you to do one thing, stay into the word. God bless you.